Hi, y'all. It's Dana, just coming at you to let you know, since you're listening to older podcasts and maybe you haven't heard yet, I now train and certify decluttering coaches in my No Mess decluttering process. Go find out if there is a coach who is near you who can help lead you through the decluttering process. Go to decluttering coaches.com. That's my website. Everyone listed there is trained and certified by me. We now have coaches all over the world. If there's not somebody near enough to you that they can come and help you in person, most of our coaches also offer virtual coaching. And that has helped a lot of people be very successful in working through their clutter. If you are interested in becoming a decluttering coach, go to decluttering coaches.com, find out about taking the decluttering coach training course, and find out what it means to then pursue certification. All right, now go enjoy the podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I'm Dana K. White. I blog over at aslobcomesclean.com. That's where I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. I'm also the author of two books, How to Manage Your Home Without Losing Your Mind. I recommend that for anyone who feels completely overwhelmed in their home, like can't keep up with the day-to-day. What is wrong with me? Oh my word, I feel like I'm losing my mind. Yeah, that's the one you need. Deals with routines and dishes and laundry and all the things that seemed like this big unsolvable puzzle to me once upon a time. And I had to figure out the very hard way. I've told you what I figured out. Like, what are the absolute most essential things that I have to do to keep my house from becoming a disaster again and again and again? Anyway, so that is that one. And then Decluttering at the Speed of Life is all about decluttering. Like, take it through your house, my 5-step process, applying it to the different spaces in your home and also different relationships in your life. And those are available wherever books are sold in whatever format you like to read or listen to books. So go check those out at aslobcomesclean.com/books. So I am talking today, this is podcast number 221, and I am talking about why do some organizing solutions work for some people and fail miserably for others. I am taking a little bit of a break from the last couple of podcasts. I think it's been 3 podcasts now that I've been talking about specifically downsizing, helping older relatives who are moving into assisted living or at some point are going to be moving into assisted living, that kind of thing. I've been talking through that, partly the mindset of what gives you the right and how to even approach it when it's something that's, it's so scary to approach this with people who aren't ready to talk about it and it wasn't their idea. But anyway, so I've gone through that in, I guess it was podcasts 218, 219, and 220. But I'm taking a little break from that, partly because it's just heavy, you know, and the next one I'm going to do is talking about after someone passes away. And I just wasn't ready to. Also, my lovely podcast editor, who takes out not all the ums, but oh my word, there could be so many more ums from my podcast, Rachel, she's going on vacation. Happy vacation, Rachel. And she said, I'll still work on my vacation, but I just want to kind of let you know. And I was like, I'm going to try to get mine recorded ahead of time so that you don't have to work on my stuff on vacation. Because that's the little thing that for me personally, I work really hard to not have to worry about work while I'm on vacation. So I want her to do that. Anyway, because of that, I'm recording this one in the same day as when I recorded last week's podcast. And first of all, it's heavy and I'm tired of talking about it for the day. But it's also recording those two in a row kind of make me worried that I'm going to repeat things or forget what I said in last week's podcast versus this week's. And anyway, I had somebody ask me, a blogging friend, she said, well, can't you just record a whole bunch of podcasts at once? And I was like, you know, I think I could do that a little more easily, not easily, but realistically, if I was doing conversations like interview podcasts. But because I monologue most of these, it doesn't really work very well for me to do that because I start to, it's just me talking for hours and hours and hours. But I'm doing this for Rachel, y'all, because she needs to enjoy her vacation. Got it? One of our sponsors this week for this episode is BetterHelp. I hear from a lot of you, and I know so many times there's a lot more to our clutter than just the actual stuff that needs to be moved out of the house. But y'all, I'm just a podcaster from Texas working on her own home. I am not qualified to help with some of the things I know that you, my listeners, are dealing with. That's why I'm excited to share with you about BetterHelp. BetterHelp is online counseling that allows you to connect with a licensed professional counselor in a safe and private online environment so you can get the help you need on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions plus chat and text with your therapist. If you know that you need to look into getting counseling, but you're overwhelmed with how to even start, check out BetterHelp. They have 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states. If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. You can start communicating in under 24 hours, though I do want to be clear, this is not a crisis line. One big advantage, since I know I have readers all over the place, is there is a broad expertise in the network, which might not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly an affordable option. A Slob Comes Clean listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code CLEAN. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/clean. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/clean. All right. So the question was, why do some organizing solutions work great for some people? Like, they swear by them. They write books about them. They have magazine articles about them, and not for others. So I have given up on, which I don't think I ever even tried, but on being the person who has the website and the Instagram with all these gorgeous pictures of amazingly organized spaces. That's not me. I'm never going to be that person. I have decluttered spaces, and those decluttered spaces stay decluttered as long as I'm using my strategies of 5-minute pickups and re-decluttering and all that kind of stuff and sticking with the visibility rule. All things that I've talked about in previous podcasts, and I'll kind of get into them a little bit here. But I don't do the lots of little buckets and baskets and tubs and neat little things up on shelves because I can't maintain it. Okay. So my space is organized. Their space is organized, but we can't do it in the same way. Why? Because we're different people with different brains. All right. So I'll just tell you the reason I think about this is, I hope you guys enjoyed Get Organized HQ, but anyway, that's something I talked about in some previous podcasts that happened recently. But the girl who, who organized it is Laura, and she's lovely. And we did an interview, and behind her is her amazingly organized with all these different trays and baskets, and things are labeled in a really cute pink font and all this stuff. Elaborate organizing system for her office stuff. And it truly makes me look at it and go, I want to be like that. I want my spaces to look like that too. Except that I've tried. I've tried and I've failed many times. And the main thing I have learned over the course of what I call my own deslobification process is that I will make so much more progress, and that progress will last in my home if I will accept how my brain actually works and accept how I actually function instead of trying to fight against that. Because what I used to do is fight against my natural tendency to be disorganized, and I would fight against it by looking at a system like that, spending a whole lot of money and a whole lot of hours trying to copy that system in my home, and then wondering, first of all, why mine never looked like hers did anyway, which we're going to talk about in a minute, why that is, but also being frustrated that I simply could not maintain it. You know, my mom would come to my house. She would organize for me. She is the queen of all the little sorting and putting things in spots and remembering where it is and like what the organized brain needs to be able to do. She does all that. And she would come and do it in my house. And she would leave and I would think, I love it like this. But I felt like I was just holding on with my fingernails to a cliff because I was like, I knew from experience it was going to be so hard to maintain. And I'd be like, okay. I just felt on edge all the time trying to maintain whatever system she had implemented. And then I would fail. And every time I failed, I had that much less hope and that much more of a panicked feeling about trying to maintain it the next time until I finally just gave up. Now, through the giving up, I ended up saying, well, okay, I can't ever get organized. I'm just going to declutter. Well, ding, ding, ding. That's where the beauty happened. Okay. Because here's the thing. Laura has the amazing system with lots of buckets and things. Lots of, not buckets. They're like trays. Like I said, I'll try to get a picture. I'm sure she'd let me. She also makes planners that are really super adorable. Anyway, but she has this amazing system that I now know I can't maintain. So what is it? What is the difference between her and me? Why is it that this organizing system, which works amazingly for her, is completely unrealistic to me? Because sometimes understanding why it's unrealistic for me helps me accept the fact that, okay, I don't need to try that. I need to find what does work for me. Okay. So it all comes down to clutter threshold. Your clutter threshold is the point at which you have more stuff in your home or in a certain space than you can personally keep under control consistently. Your clutter threshold, which I made it up, so I get to say this, has a capital C and a capital T, clutter threshold. Okay. Your clutter threshold is unique to you. So my mom and I have completely different clutter thresholds. She has a very high clutter threshold. This doesn't mean how much stuff you prefer to have in your home, whether you're a minimalist or not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that she can have a lot of stuff and she can put it all away in a neat, organized fashion. She can remember where everything is and go find it right when she needs it. She knows where it is. She remembers where it is. She gets it. She uses it. She doesn't yank everything out of the space to get to the one thing that she needs and then leave it all out on the floor until she trips over it and realizes, oh, that didn't work again. That was me. Okay. That's how I would operate. Instead, she gets what she needs. She rearranges as needed. She, you know, she maintains organizing systems really well. I would take an organizing system. You know, if my mom would organize something, then I would be like, okay, well, I need the thing, but I have to move this, this, and this to be able to get to it. And my personality is such that I'm generally in a hurry at all times because I've either had some great idea and I want to act on it right then, or I was obsessed with a great idea. And now the thing that I have to do that's not as fun as the great idea has to be done quickly, whatever. It's just me. I go digging, digging, digging because I don't remember exactly where something is. So I have to move all this different stuff to find it. I find it, I pull it out, and it never occurs to me to make sure that everything is neatly put back in. So either I shove it in and the organizing system is ruined, or everything's outside the space and the organizing system isn't doing its job because my house looks super cluttered. See what I'm saying? So it's the differences in us. It's not the system. It's us. We're the ones who are different. And so that's what I had to accept is what is my personal clutter threshold? So how do you find your personal clutter threshold? Well, you declutter and you just get rid of stuff either in your home or in a certain space that consistently is disorganized and drives you crazy. You get rid of stuff until you get to the point where you say, oh, this is staying under control a whole lot more easily and with less drama in my brain. And at that point, you've reached your clutter threshold. Okay. So it ultimately comes down to the clutter threshold. Laura can handle more stuff than I can. So I can't do all of the neat little buckets and baskets because I wouldn't be able to maintain that because of how I operate in my unique home and with my unique personality. Okay. So it's better instead of me trying to be like Laura, instead, it's more important for me to accept that I need to have less stuff and I need to have a less complicated system because we're different. And we both want our homes to not be disasters. So her way of doing that is the neat system. For me, it's having less stuff. Make sense? Okay. Most of the time, when an organizing system fails, it's because for people like me listening here, okay, it's either that it's just not realistic for the current lifestyle, current phase that we're going to be talking about, or most of the time, it's because I've tried to put more stuff in there than I could handle under any system. So it's not the system's fault. It's that I have too much stuff. Okay. So before you ever think about organizing, if you're listening to a podcast called A Slob Comes Clean, I mean, let's just be honest. You probably need to declutter because for me, that's the big thing that was freeing for me was realizing that I was making a whole lot more progress in my home by not worrying about getting organized and instead just decluttering. I thought I was going to declutter first and then get organized. But what I didn't realize was that getting rid of all the excess stuff and getting down below my clutter threshold meant that spaces were basically organized. Okay, because they only had in them what I actually needed, what I could personally handle within my clutter threshold. And so they stayed non-disastrous, okay, which is what I always wanted. And I was able to find things and all that kind of stuff. So go ahead and just declutter, even if you think eventually you're going to organize. And the reality is that that's probably going to be enough. Like most 9 out of 10 people listening to this podcast, that's going to be enough, is just the decluttering. Other things that can be reasons why organizing systems don't work. The containers. Maybe you're using containers incorrectly. I used to believe in my heart of hearts that I knew what containers were for. I did not. I did not know what they were for. I thought containers were for putting things in. So I would fill a container, I'd have more stuff, so I'd get another container and I'd put more in there. I was not using containers as limits. So the root word of container is to contain. It's to limit the amount of stuff. And so even when in the past, I would have put together a system with a bunch of trays, like what Laura has, I wouldn't let the tray itself or the trays itself be the limits. Laura's trays look amazing because they don't have stuff sticking out over the top of them. You just see the tray and you see the label, which means that even if she didn't have to declutter it down to that point, she only had what fit in that space. Does that make sense? So each individual tray only has in it what will fit comfortably in there. It's not shoved in, it's not piled high or whatever. And that's what makes it look neat and nice and much more functional because it's serving as a limit. And then the trays themselves are neatly put on the shelves. And so she's treating her shelves as a container, as a limit to how many of those trays can go on. So she, you know, where I would have been like, well, I've got all this stuff I want to keep. And so I would buy more and more trays and then I'd be shoving the trays in there and I could barely even get them in there. You know, she's got space above her little stacks of trays for her to be able to get things in and out easily. And it's not all shoved in, taking up every little inch of space of the container. So it's so many times, even an organizing system that you really want to use and that you're really sure would be great. My problem was that I didn't know what containers were for, so I wasn't treating them as containers, as limits to how much stuff I could have. So instead, you know, I think one of her things says like hole punches or something like hole punches and crafty type stuff is a lot of what her, I know I'm just talking about Laura all the time. I'll have to make sure I send you over there to see her. But anyway, but she's got all these different little things on there. And, you know, I would be like, okay, well, I've got a hole punch here and a hole punch there and a hole punch here and a hole punch there. And all these other, oh, but these things could technically qualify as hole punches too. So I'm going to stick those in there. And all of a sudden they're like wonky and sticking up over out of the edge. Well, that's the difference, okay, is using something as a container correctly or using it as a place to put things, which is not how containers are supposed to be used. And then there's the issue of, would you really honestly be able to maintain it? Like, is this actually realistically something that you personally can maintain? So one of, you know, this is like I was talking about before, with the, my mom putting things in all these neat little spaces and then me just digging around and being able there. And part of that is because I don't remember where everything is. Now, let's talk about Laura's system. Laura's system has labels on things. So realistically, that should be a way for me to remember where everything is, except that they're opaque. And my natural tendency is to shove things in little places and I'd be like, oh, I'll figure that out later. But for right now, I'm just going to hide it in here. So then it ends up that the hole punch thing is not just hole punches and it's got other things. So I have to be careful of that kind of stuff. Anything that's like a hidden box that's opaque where I, in a moment of surely I'll have everything together in my life and be more organized in a week than I am right now. That mentality, I will shove things in there. So I kind of have to eliminate those opportunities for shoving things into opaque boxes because then they become boxes of randomness, no matter how neatly labeled they are. Okay. But the other thing is that she's got her trays. It's really cute how she does it, but they're stacked inside of each other. So there's stuff in it, but then there's a track, another tray just sitting right on top of that. Well, again, that's where my unique personality comes in. Not saying unique like special. I'm just saying I have to accept that I'm different. That's what I'm saying. But I have to accept that when I go digging for something, if I need something out of the middle tray and I have to pull the whole stack of trays down, it is not my natural tendency to get out what I need, put that top tray back on the middle tray, and then put all that stuff back up in there. I have a personality where I need to see what I need, grab it immediately. Okay. Which is that whole container concept. I need space within the container for my hand to be able to reach it and grab it out without moving things first. Okay. That's because I have a very low clutter threshold. Most likely a lot of you have clutter thresholds that are somewhere between my mom and me or somewhere between Laura and me. I personally have one that's so low, it's like I have to compensate for my extra low clutter threshold by having even less stuff and having less complicated systems for storing that stuff. See? So what's the reality of the space that I have? What's the reality of how I'm going to function with this stuff and with how much space I have and the kind of space? It's also possible if maybe you are able to function with this organizing system and yet it's over the clutter threshold of, or over the functioning threshold, like we were talking about, how do you actually do things? It might be over the clutter threshold of other family members who are using that space. Okay. We talked about this in another podcast. Finding that lowest common clutter threshold, decluttering down to the point where it meets the clutter threshold of the other people in your family, because they are not the type to take the time to read the labels, pull it down neatly without dumping things, get what they need, restack and re-put, you know, so it's decluttering to the point where, okay, they can see what they need and they can have plenty of space to grab it without causing a mess in the things that are around it. So accepting the clutter threshold of the other people using this space, that doesn't mean that you might not have some spaces in your home that are just you, that you're the only one who uses them, and that you then decide, okay, I'm going to be the person who is the only one that uses this, so this can meet my clutter threshold and doesn't have to go down as low as somebody else's clutter threshold. But there's also the reality, you know, I'm not even saying that you have to do it in the moment. Maybe it's your clutter threshold that, yes, you have those moments where you have to grab something really super fast and you don't necessarily put it right away, but you have the type of personality where you notice that it's out of place. And so later that day, you're going to put it back. You know, you're going to fix it and rearrange it and stuff like that. It's not going to become a slob vision issue for you the way that it always does for me. That's my problem. I pull things out in the moment, have to run about my day, and then it just starts to blend in. And then as clutter blends in, well, then it attracts other clutter because it's already a space that's not neat. And then it piles up and then it, you know, becomes this major mess again by the time I actually register that that mess has happened again. But, you know, and if you're not, if you're really on the edge, give it a 5-minute pickup focus. You know, make that your focus for when you do a 5-minute pickup is going and rearranging that, that space that you have, you know, or putting back into place everything in that space where you have done this organizing project. But if you're doing these things, if you're doing 5-minute pickups, you know, if you're trying to stay more focused or you're doing 5-minute pickups and yet that space consistently goes back into being disastrous, or it just, try as you might, never occurs to you to go back to that space and make that the focus of your 5-minute pickup. When I say the focus of your 5-minute pickup, I mean like when the whole family is doing a 5-minute pickup, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to stay focused on this area. For me, that's generally the kitchen. But for you, you know, if you're doing that and it's still consistently just not working, you have too much stuff in that space. Okay. And so you need to declutter, declutter, declutter. And sometimes the decluttering involves getting rid of some of the organizing system paraphernalia that's in there. Is paraphernalia the right word? I have no idea, but it sounds right to me. It feels right. But then when I hear that, I also think of like, isn't it called drug paraphernalia? Stuff that goes along with it. But it's a very fun word to say. So I'm going to keep saying it, paraphernalia. You know what feels awesome? Having a bra that fits perfectly. You know what doesn't feel awesome? The awkward experience of shopping for bras by trying on a bunch that don't fit perfectly, or having a stranger who I'm sure is perfectly nice and lovely in any other situation in life help you find a bra that fits perfectly. Our sponsor takes away the non-awesome part and leaves only the awesome. With Third Love, you get to skip the fitting room experience. Third Love offers an online fit finder quiz, which allows you to measure, order, and try on at home. They even come in half sizes, so you can find your perfect fit. Third Love helps you identify your breast shape. Yes, shape does matter when choosing a bra, and size, and provides customer support through their fit stylist via text, chat, or phone. And returns are free and easy. You'll have 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. That right there, as someone like me who is always skeptical that something's actually going to work perfectly for me, is the very best part, is knowing that that's what they're going to do. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/clean now to get your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/clean for 15% off today. Our next sponsor is Carbona. Carbona is a household brand that's been helping people live life unstained for more than a century. How's that for experience? Carbona offers a wide range of cleaning and home care solutions that deliver impressive results. Their products ensure that stains never have the upper hand. So unfortunately, laundry is a fact of life. And it's a fact of life that happens again and again. I know my washing machine gets used a lot with five grown adult-sized people. Honestly, I think I use it more times most weeks than my oven. Is that bad to say that? But I'm pretty sure it's true. And one of those things that is a cleaning, is that a washing machine needs to be cleaned. You know, like the bathtub needs to be cleaned, even though it's used to clean you. Wrap your brain around it. I know. Anyway, enough on that concept. Carbona has a washing machine cleaner, a product that is designed to eliminate washing machine odors and to maintain your washing machine parts. Carbona's washing machine cleaner, complete with activated charcoal, binds up odor-causing residue, dirt, lime scale, and it's safe for all laundry machine types. Order now, and my listeners will receive 20% off your order. Live life unstained. Shop Carbona.com with code CLEAN for 20% off. Again, use the code CLEAN at Carbona.com to save 20% off. Happy cleaning. All right. Other things to consider is It's also possible it just doesn't fit this current phase of the life of your home. Okay. In Decluttering at the Speed of Life, I have a chapter at the end where I deal with grief. And we deal with like real, like somebody has passed away grief, but also just this grief that we sometimes don't acknowledge it as grief of, oh, I'm not the person right now that I assumed I was going to be at this phase of my life, or I'm not the person now that I used to be. And I really loved being that person. And I actually really love the me I am right now, but getting rid of this, that, or the other feels like letting go of that person who I was at some phase of my life when I enjoyed that phase of my life. So much clutter is related to that issue right there. That issue of feeling like I'm letting go of a part of me if I let go of this thing. And yet you're listening to a podcast called The Slob Comes Clean. You're listening to a lady talk about decluttering who is not naturally organized. Okay. So let's call it what it is and admit that you want to have some change in your home. I think that was the thing for me is I'm like, I wanted to hold on to all that stuff. I desperately wanted to keep the humongous bag full of stamps that I'd gotten for $1 at a garage sale and thought, stamps are cool. I'm cool. What if I could be a cool stamper? You know, and so I bought this huge bag of stuff and it represented like something really neat I was going to do. So I hated to get rid of that because it was admitting I was never going to be that person or that I wasn't going to be that person at this phase of life. But I also didn't like the state of my home. I also didn't like how hard it was for us to function in my home. I didn't like how embarrassed I was when the doorbell would ring and I would try to find an excuse to talk outside the front door, you know, or I was embarrassed or petrified if I found out somebody was coming over thinking they were going to get to come in my front door. You know, I didn't like those things. So it's, I had to go, okay, I don't like the idea of getting rid of this thing, but I also don't like what we're living in, you know, the way that our house was. And so it was this reality of saying, okay, I want to live in a house where we can do the things we need to do and be comfortable and get to the things we need to get to and function well. And so much of that was accepting our current phase of life, like this overall current at that moment phase of life. Okay. And sometimes that means that an organizing system that would work in a different phase of life might not work now. So like, let's say a super detailed, sorted, perfect craft room, when in reality, that room needs to be used as a nursery or even just as a space that is a place where you can put the playpen. Do they still call them playpens? What do they call them? I don't know. I remember what we called it. Pack and play. That's what we called it. But where you can put the pack and play so that you can have the kids nap in different rooms and hopefully not keep each other up and keep each other from being able to sleep. You know, I mean, like, and so that's the only time I would craft and I can't do that right now. It doesn't mean you have to give up completely, but sometimes the reality of I can't actually use this room at this phase of my life for crafting means that other things get stuck in there, you know, because it's not really being used for what it is. So what is it that just doesn't actually fit this current phase of life? It doesn't mean you have to give up on ever being a crafter, but it might mean that you need to declutter and make it consolidated down to a smaller space so that you can use that space that's in the container that is your home for what really needs to happen right now, which is having a safe napping space or whatever it is that's going on for you. Or maybe it's just a time of your life where I was super into such and such, but now I have to realize, yeah, it's been 3 years since I've done that. And I don't think I'm ever going to go back to it. And so anytime that a space is not being used for the intent that you organized it for or whatever, That means it has stuff in there that you don't actually need. And that is just going to naturally lend itself to other stuff being shoved in there because, well, I don't actually use it for that. So it doesn't make me protect it as, oh, these are my craft things. This is my craft space. Does that make sense? I hope so. Anyway, even if it doesn't, whatever. Okay, here's the thing. Accepting yourself, accepting your unique lifestyle, your phase of life is going to take you farther organizationally than finding a new system. Okay? So stop worrying about the fact that you feel like you're failing at organizing systems. And instead, just declutter. Just get rid of stuff to the point where you can actually personally keep it under control. So the answer to the question, why do some organizing systems work for some people and not for others? Well, they may be in a different phase of life. Most likely they have different clutter thresholds, okay? And they can handle more stuff with this particular system. But they also may have other people, they have a different makeup of people in their home that is able to handle different stuff, different people with different clutter thresholds. Their lowest common clutter threshold is higher than your lowest common clutter threshold in your house. Not that we need to say anything bad about the people with the lowest clutter threshold, right? Because that was me. So anyway, but it's finding that and it's accepting that we're all different. And the difference is not in the organizing system. It's in me and how I can maintain it. And also just remember that even organized people, they change systems because they're like, oh, this doesn't work as well as it used to. Maybe it's something that they were super into for a while. And so they used it and they, you know, enjoyed it. It worked really well for them. And then their life changed. That's one of the things that I see. And so the system quit working as well. And they came up with a new system. Here's one of those things I see that's different in organized people is they acknowledge that that happens. Now, part of the issue is that they like finding organizing systems. So sometimes it seems like maybe they're a little bit excited about finding another organizing system to redo that space where people like us don't love creating organizing systems quite as much. We don't have the confidence that they're ever going to work because we've had so many times that have failed because we've been over our clutter threshold. And so when one fails, we think, okay, well, that's it. I'm doomed. I can't be organized. And that's not the case. You just haven't met your clutter threshold yet. Okay. And sometimes that means finding the actual system that works really well for you personally. You know, another thing to consider that in all of this is that so many times the appeal of finding a new organizing system is the appeal of creating space. Okay, this is one of those pet peeves that I have. I am all for somebody saying get organized and advertising buckets and baskets and all that kind of stuff, because I get it. I get that that's what organizing people love to use and they use them well. But it is such a pet peeve of mine when they use the trendy word declutter and then it's a list of all these things that you should purchase and that you should bring into your home. Like that drives me crazy. Same thing of, you know, create more space in your home, but they're not really meaning create actual more space in your home to be able to walk around and move more freely. They're talking about more spaces to put things. So like here, buy this cabinet or this bucket or this little system with slots to create more space in your home. And here's where, you know, we talked about the container concept. The container concept is everything, you guys, because here's the problem. When you feel unorganized, the natural thing to assume is that you don't have enough space. And then if you look at, I need more space, and you end up going and getting more bookshelves, thinking that that is going to create more space, you actually end up filling more space in your house because every space in your home is actually a container. And is a natural limit to things. And so you bring in more bookshelves or you bring in, you know, let me redo this armoire that everybody's trying to sell their old TV armoires because you can't use them really with the new TVs. Let me bring that into my house and it'll be storage and it'll create more space in my home. And yet in my personal experience with my personal clutter threshold, I did that. I bought every shelf that I came across. I mean, it was such a pet peeve of my husband's. He would roll his eyes and sigh so heavily when I would say, hey, can you help me bring this shelf in that I bought at a garage sale? Because he was like, where are we going to put it? And I thought, that's such a dumb question. It's a shelf. It actually makes more space, except that it really doesn't. Okay. So if you're feeling like your house is too small, the issue is not finding a new piece of furniture to bring in to create space, because that's actually going to take up more space. Okay. The answer, if you feel like your house is too small, the answer is to declutter. Okay. Instead of coming up with a whole big system that you're going to put all these things in. If your clutter threshold, here's the thing, this whole clutter threshold thing, this whole an organizing system only works if you have only the amount of stuff that you can personally handle in it. These are things that organized people don't need to be taught. They're organized people, like, you know, they have a more organized brain because that's the kind of stuff that comes naturally to them. So if bringing in more stuff and more systems, if your goal in that is to make more space in your home because your home feels too small, reject that and declutter. Get rid of stuff and then your house will start to feel better. My house feels so much bigger now than it used to me. We have more stuff, more space to move around. I no longer feel like my house is too small. You know, I'm just going to be honest. And this is one of those things where they can handle something that I can't. But I have these two friends who are super organized. And I'm pretty sure y'all don't listen to the podcast. But if you do, hey, they both have beautifully organized homes, like the kind that make me go, oh, I want to be like that. And we were having this conversation and they were both talking about, like, one of them had bought a storage shed. And I thought, wait, do I need a storage shed? She's organized and she's got a storage shed. And I don't think we need a storage shed. I mean, look at our garage right now and you'd think we do, but that's just stuff that needs to be decluttered from the whole cleaning out the parents' stuff and everything. Anyway, from my husband's parents passed away. But anyway, it honestly made me go, wait a minute, do I need a storage shed? Because she's organized and she's got a storage shed and she's organized, like, seems to be so naturally organized. And there, she's talking about how much did you pay for your storage shed and blah, blah, blah. And I went, is it wrong for me to not need a storage shed anymore? And I realized, oh, there were times when I did have a storage shed, but do you know what was out there? Stuff that just had no place and I was never going to use, like, ever. Like, we moved stuff in there and then we moved it out when we moved out of that house. I mean, like, it was stuff with no point. Now, for them, she does a lot of seasonal decorating. She likes to decorate for spring and for fall and for Easter and for all that kind of stuff. And her house always looks amazing. But that's part of her clutter threshold, is she doesn't just buy that stuff and think, oh, this will look great, and then try to stick it in there. No, she rearranges things. So she legitimately needs a place to put stuff. And they have plenty of space for a storage shed. Okay. It's not like, I mean, they have, like, live out in the country kind of thing. Anyway, but it's because she uses that, and her clutter threshold can handle having a space and it not just being an endless abyss, a dumping ground. Okay, like a storage shed was when I had one. I can't handle as much stuff. So it doesn't make any sense for me to have one because I don't do seasonal decorating except for Christmas. And we fit all of our Christmas stuff in one little spot in our attic. So I don't need a storage shed. She can have a storage shed because it goes with her personal lifestyle and what she actually maintains and realistically does and is important to her in her home, and not just a wishing thing. Like, oh, I wish that I decorated for all the different seasons. I go to other people's houses, her house, and I think, oh, I love it. Oh, I wish I did that, except that I can't because it just is over my clutter threshold because I need to only have the one season, Christmas, that I decorate for, and that is it. Okay. So does that make sense? That I know I've said that a lot in this particular episode, but I think it's really key to acknowledge that organizing systems are for making your house and your life function the way that you want it to function. And it's never going to function the way you want it to function if you have more stuff than you can personally handle. And for people with a low clutter threshold, fancy organizing systems do not actually create space, because they, you know, I would get a fancy system together with rows and shelves and drawers and all that kind of stuff, and I would just keep kind of piling stuff on it, thinking, okay, well, I bet you this should go in this system that I have now, but I don't really have time right now to actually find out exactly where to put it. And so I would just kind of pile it on there, and it would turn into its own big abyss of stuff. Okay. So it's that acceptance of how I actually function. So along with this, I also, one last thing I'm going to talk about is that phrase, a place for everything and everything in its place, which I talk a lot about this in my books and in other podcasts, but I think it goes along well with this particular subject, because when people say that, when organized people say, which is a totally legitimate thing to say, it just drives people like me crazy. It's like seriously one of my least favorite phrases ever, because for so long it was just such a unattainable thing for me. But you know, organized people would say a place for everything and everything in its place, like duh. And I would go, I don't have a place for everything. And even if I do put everything away, there's simply just not enough space for it. Okay. Do you see how that works together? But for me, I was just irritated by the phrase because I felt like it was completely unrealistic in my home. And it was completely unrealistic in my home because I didn't have enough space for all the stuff I was trying to keep. Okay. So why is the phrase a place for everything and everything in its place so annoying? It's so annoying for those of us who struggle with clutter and who don't understand the container concept. Once I understood the container concept and realized space is finite, every space in my home, every cabinet, every drawer, every shelf, everything is a limit to how much I can have. And that's how my house stays under control and looks good and looks okay. I know I changed it to okay, not good, but anyway. But that's how my house looks okay, is when I only have what will realistically and naturally and easily fit within spaces, instead of trying to shove more in there than I can actually do. Once I realized that, then that phrase finally clicked for me. And I was like, oh, a place for everything and everything in its place, meaning actually having space for things. Okay. But sometimes the tendency with that idea of a place for everything in its place, I need to create more places. And so I start looking for more organizing solutions or organizing systems, because I think, okay, well, I just don't have enough places. And so I need to come up with more places by finding this new system. When in reality, I just needed to get rid of stuff and accept the reality of the space that I had in my home. Because here's the other thing. For people who are struggling like I was, I had a lot of organizing stuff in my house. So as I decluttered and decluttered and decluttered, I would come across buckets and baskets and things. And I already had this. So I never needed to go out and buy more of that stuff, because I was the person who had that. Okay. Because I had tried so many times, but then it had all just morphed into more types of clutter. See what I mean? But once I decluttered and I accepted the place and the space first, and then decluttered down to the point where it all fit there and I functioned well within that space, then that phrase started to make sense to me. But let's go to, what is the place for something? I don't know where something should go. That goes to my first decluttering question. My first decluttering question, and I only have two, because more than two, and I would get distracted and I had way too much stuff to ask myself a whole bunch of questions about each and every little thing. Anyway, the first question is, where would I look for this first? That's the answer to where something goes in your house. It's where's the first place where you would look for it. You take it there now, and it has to fit within that space. So that means that if there's not room for it there because it's its own decluttering project or organizing project that needs to happen at some point, then you pull out something that obviously needs to go to make space for that. Okay. So always remember that container concept, the space, and that if you are frustrated because you feel like I simply don't have enough places for everything in my home, Don't try to come up with new places. Just accept that you have a clutter threshold and that most likely you're living over it, if that phrase frustrates you. And declutter down to the point where you only have what you actually can handle in your own personal home. All right. I've gone on this subject. And I'm going to stop now. All right. I will talk to you guys next week. And next week we will talk about that icky subject of after someone passes away. And just so you know, on that, that's one of those times where I go, oh, I don't want to talk about anything that, you know, because there's wills and there's legal and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just going to kind of share my own personal experience since I did go through that this summer. I hope you're following me on Instagram, because I know I've got it in my highlights for my stories. But over there, I kind of talked through the process as I was doing, as I was going through her apartment and getting stuff ready and clearing it out. But it, you know, again, it's one more example of every bit of decluttering that we'd done over the years was incredibly helpful as we got to that point. So there really, it was not as daunting as it could have been at that point. But I do hope you follow me on Instagram. I'm A Slob Comes Clean over there. Okay. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.